Thank you for joining me for another episode of Terminally Stupid, a show where I highlight the terminally stupid or those who come awfully close. This is episode 3, and I am Mrs. Zoke. Our first story is from the March 21st, 2011 edition of San Antonio Express in Texas. In this story, we learn that a man upset over the new, higher price of a beefy crunch burrito at Taco Bell fired an air rifle at the manager of the establishment. It seems that the beefy crunch burrito price went up from 99 cents to $1.49. The customer, Ricardo Jones, had just ordered 7 of said burrito and became very angry that, due to the price increase, his order now costs an additional $3.50, as well as some additional tax. He brandished several weapons in the parking lot of the Taco Bell and fled when police were called. He was later pulled over by police, pointed one of his weapons at the 3 officers who pulled him over, and fled again when they opened fire. He then barricaded himself in his motel room. SWAT was called and spent 3 hours negotiating with Jones before employing tear gas to get him out of his motel room. It was learned that all of his weapons were found to be air-powered in nature, and Jones has since been taken into custody and charged with 2 felony counts of aggravated assault against a public servant. Jones was in the Baxter County Jail on bail totaling $50,000. No one was injured in the incident. Mr. Jones will now potentially have higher expenses to pay that total a great deal more than $3.50, and it is probably going to be a long time before he gets another beefy crunch burrito. Despite that, I have one question for Mr. Jones, who pointed an air-powered weapon at police officers. You were aware that police officers across this nation do use firearms with rounds significantly larger than BBs, right? And that they travel a great deal faster and farther? You also know that when threatened with anything that resembles a gun, that police officers don't usually stop to ask if it's a toy before they protect themselves, right? I think you are very lucky your adult temper tantrum over the cost of burritos and your stupid BB gun antics didn't lead to your death, although your genetic material being removed from the human gene pool probably wouldn't have hurt my feelings any. Our second story comes from the Dayton Daily News on the 26th of March this year. It seems that an Ohio man, Lieutenant Daniel DiVergilio, is being charged more than $1 million per team to watch the Sweet 16 round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, according to the letter he received Wednesday from Time Warner Cable. The Beaver Creek, Ohio resident was informed that his automatic credit card payment to Time Warner had been rejected for non-sufficient funds. The payment amount was $16,409,107. In regards to this very large sum, Lieutenant DiVergilio said, "Had I known, I would have bought Showtime. $5 more for Showtime is a bit much, but heck, $16,409,112? Who cares?" DiVergilio said he spent more than 40 minutes Wednesday on the phone with a Time Warner customer service representative who was confused by the problem. Time Warner Cable officials on Thursday attributed the $16.4 million to human error. An employee typed the wrong number for the amount owed, which caused the company's automated system to generate the letter. A Time Warner spokesman said, "We apologize for the inconvenience that it has caused." The spokesman said, "We are going to work with the customer to get this resolved." I should hope so. While you're at it, work with your billing clerks. They seem to need additional training in regards to typing and proofreading skills. Or maybe you should just automate the billing process, too. Our next story is proof of the existence of karma, and it comes to us from Boise, Idaho and the Associated Press, via ABC 7 News in Chicago as it appeared on their site, March 24, 2011. 25-year-old Daniel D'Amico was arrested after calling police to report his wallet missing. Boise police realized that Mr. D'Amico matched the description of a man that was suspected of stealing a wallet off the desk of a potential employer during an interview. A credit card from the wallet that D'Amico was to have stolen was used to buy tobacco at 2 stores, and it was while leaving the second store that D'Amico believes he may have dropped his own wallet. Police have recovered the credit card and wallet that D'Amico is suspected of stealing and using, but have not recovered D'Amico's missing wallet. Karma seems to have a way of doling out its own brand of justice. From what I have observed in life, Mr. D'Amico is getting off lucky. Karma tends to hit you in a way that is 10 times worse when it does hit. Learn your lesson, Mr. D'Amico, and count your blessings. And by the way, if you haven't guessed, Mr. D'Amico, you probably didn't get the job. Also from the Associated Press on March 24, 2011, and ABC 7 News of Chicago, we are treated to this gem. In Naples, Florida, Collier County Sheriff deputies say 43-year-old Claudia Coker was charged with aggravated battery after an incident outside the Walmart where both women work. On the night of the 21st, the victim told deputies she was walking to her car after her shift ended, when Kokur doused her with a substance that burned her eyes. That's when the two women started fighting, and sometime during the fight, Kokur bit off the tip of the victim's finger. Kokur told deputies she heard a rumor that the other woman was having an affair with her husband, who also works at Walmart. Miss Kokur, this behavior may be the reason that your husband is having an affair. That is, if the rumors about an affair are true. And here I thought all the stories and pictures I see about the people of Walmart were always just of the customers. But it looks like it's also the employees. Now the news takes us to New York. In the March 22, 2011 edition of the Times-Herald Record, it is reported that 49-year-old Keith Gruber was scheduled for a 10:30 a.m. pre-trial hearing for a felony driving while intoxicated charge. This was not Mr. Gruber's first DWI offense, as he's had several other convictions for the same behavior in the past. Mr. Gruber showed up to his pre-trial hearing a half hour late. He was intoxicated and carrying a black bag that contained four cans of Busch beer in one hand, with a fifth open can in the other. He tried to throw away the open can, but officers stopped him. The bag was confiscated, and the security check of this bag was presented to the judge. Mr. Gruber, who had been out of jail on $30,000 bail at the time of the hearing, was promptly remanded to the custody of jail without bail. It is stated in the article that Mr. Gruber apologized to the judge for his behavior. Unfortunately for Mr. Gruber, I don't think I'm sorry is going to fix it. At least not this time, because of course I'm sorry only fixes it when the behavior changes. Our last story goes back a few years. I found it in the Journal out of West Virginia, and it was published on September 16, 2009. Evidently, on August 28th, Berkeley County Sheriff's deputies were called to a home regarding a suspected burglary. The victim told police that someone had broken into her home through a bedroom window. There were open cabinets in her garage and other signs of a burglar. The victim later noticed that the intruder also used her computer to check his Facebook status, and his account was still open when she checked the computer. 19-year-old Jonathan G. Parker was the owner of that Facebook account, and he was located, arrested, and I have to assume that by now he has been given a conviction and a sentence. Mr. Parker, even when not in the process of committing a burglary, it is always good practice to log out of any and all accounts you've logged into, especially if the computer does not belong to you. It is also suggested that you clear your browsing history, although this is only truly important when you're visiting pages you don't want anyone to know you visited. Of course, Facebook would probably fall into this category if you're a burglar checking your Facebook account. Or at least I would have thought so. It is now time for this week's gadget. The company Thanco has developed and is marketing a USB-powered butt cooler cushion to make sure that your seat stays cool and comfy. Just plug it into your computer via the USB cable and enjoy a fresh and cool computing experience, thanks to the integrated fan. Not only that, but you can use it in your car as well, thanks to the USB lighter socket adapter. This gadget promises to keep your posterior cool and fresh, regardless of the heat and humidity, by delivering a constant airflow through the cushion. It is retailing for about $60, and if you want the lighter socket adapter, that is about $10 more. I am not seeing any way to select the color you wish to order, but I am seeing it displayed in a nice neutral gray. Surprisingly, I'm not seeing any product reviews, and I can't say I've heard too many complaints about sweaty butt problems while computing. I don't imagine too many would admit the problem publicly, even if they did suffer from this ailment. All the same, thank you, Thanco. Well, thanks for listening. That wraps up this edition. Hope you enjoyed the comedic factor involved in all of this, and I hope you don't repeat these people's mistakes. If you have any comments, suggestions, or questions, please feel free to email me at Mrs. Zoke, that's MRSXOKE, at gmail.com. You can find links to these articles, see the show notes, and more at CaptainDramaticsMom.blogspot.com, or you can reach me at our forum at forum.zoke.org. Thanks, and please join us again next time. Music offered under Creative Commons License Share Alike 1.0. The track featured on this podcast is titled Persian Lamb Rag by the Heftone Banjo Orchestra from their album Music Box Rag. You can get a copy of this song and many others at www.heftone.com/orchestra. Stay tuned for the full-length version of this song. Thank you.
Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.